Welcome to another episode of the Growth Focus Podcast, where we bring together tech leaders from all across the globe to share their insights, their expertise, and give us their time to help us grow our businesses in tech. My name is Gary Lafter, your host, founder and creator of the Authority Accelerators, where we take experts in the tech industry and elevate them to the authority status so that they can do the choosing rather than being chosen. Now, on this particular episode, I'm really pleased to have Ram with us, and we're going to be delving into account management, what works, what doesn't work, what is broken within the system, and how it is getting fixed. So if you have to get out there and start looking after your accounts or reactivating your accounts, or even something that you might be thinking about in the future, stay tuned, because this is going to be an absolute fantastic episode. So without further ado, Ram, it's an absolute honor to have you here today. Why don't we start off with you giving us a little bit brief background on who you are and what you actually do.
Hi, Gary. Thanks for having me. I'm calling in from sunny New York. It's 40 degrees. Would you believe it? So, you know, Groundhog Day and everything else. There's debates going on about it. But I'm founder and CEO of Kaboom AI. We're based in New York City, and we are exploding onto the scene of applied AI with what we've done with the technology.
Well, I'm looking forward to delving much more deeper into this as we get into our interview. But I want to step back a little bit. And obviously, we all have a history, and we all have an exciting history and interesting. Yours, again, fascinating. Starting off in engineering, you started off in engineering, you went on to building a tech services company, had a successful exit, and now you've launched Kaboom. So what were, I suppose, my question would be, what were the biggest lessons you've learned on your journey to where you are today?
Yeah, you know, you're talking to an accidental salesperson here, right? I was an engineer, and I thought I was an engineer for life, but my entrepreneurial quest led me to start my previous venture, Surian Technologies, and I learned that, you know, there's no engineering without sales, right? I had to learn sales. But I did put on my engineering hat and applied a lot of that mindset, right, of being analytical, dealing with the numbers, et cetera. And I became an engineer salesperson, right? And I feel that's what has led us to this second chapter of that journey, which is Kaboom AI, which is generative AI and applied AI for sales, and more specifically for account management. Now, did I make a lot of mistakes along the way? Heck yeah. Right. And there's several, but, you know, the best part is that A, we survived, and B, we learned from it. Right. And I think I learned from it more than anything else. So having that humility and that ability and that open mind to be able to constantly ask those tough questions to ourselves and to myself is what led us to how far we've come. And the journey is just, you know, begun, or we're just warming up with Kaboom. So we're looking forward to doing more.
Well, for those of us who are listening, have not heard of Kaboom before, what is the 60-second elevator pitch? What is it you do, and who do you help, and what is the problem you solve?
So Kaboom is applied AI for B2B account management. We work with the confluence of structured and unstructured data. So we don't create the AI, we apply it. So we are fairly LLM and RAG technology and overall technology agnostic, but we have developed a platform that takes best practices in account management, customer success, and overall relationship management, and really put the R back in CRM. So the R for relationships, that's what Kaboom is all about.
I love that. Again, yeah, because we're so used to just throwing three letters out in all types of scenarios, especially, you know, here in the United States. And it's nice to find something that says, you know what, let's get back to what the actual meaning of the word means, and let's really dive into that. So before we get into a little bit deeper, you've built and scaled a company before. As you say, you were accidental from there, and you had to kind of shift your learning in order to scale up your entrepreneurial. What do you think is one of the biggest mistakes founders make when it comes to trying to grow their business? And what I mean by that is that we tend to find, especially in tech tends to have this attitude of the field of dreams. I build it and it will come because it's going to be so great, you know? But as you said, you had to learn how to do sales because you don't want to be the biggest kept secret. So what is the biggest mistake you see tech founders having when it comes to growing their...
Yeah, so I think for us, in my previous venture, it was a lack of focus, right? I was many things to many people. And being a tech services company, it's easy to kind of chase the next dollar. So a client wants this. Yeah, yes, heck yeah, we can do that. A client wants that. We can do that too, right? And over time, what happens is that you're diluting focus. So when you dilute focus, you don't become specialized. Your sales is not focused. Your recruitment is not focused. Your training is not focused. And it dilutes the value proposition over time. And I started Surian Technologies as an AWS solutions provider. Right place, right time. It was in 2012, right? If I'd stuck to just that, right, just being a little more patient instead of saying that, okay, oh, I'm going to do mobile apps. Oh, I'm going to do Salesforce customization. I'm going to do e-commerce. And by the way, I come from an e-commerce background, so I did that really, really well. So, you know, the focus or the lack of it is potentially something that held us back over time. In the long term, the breadth helped when we scaled, and especially when we got acquired and were part of a larger entity. But in the initial times, I think the scaling was prevented by a lack of focus. And the second thing I would say, which is I think most entrepreneurs do, is ignoring the numbers, right? And the numbers, once you get a consistent business model, tell you a whole story, right? And that helps the entrepreneur more than anybody else to A, calm their mind in terms of the state of their business, because we all tend to be very cash flow oriented in the early days. And we just look at how much money is in the bank and how much burn I have left, if you will, as opposed to understanding the trend lines behind the numbers. How is my top line growing? How is my gross margin? Is my cost structure deviating from what I expect it to be? In fact, what I realized that I had freed up so many dollars and opportunities, which I would always keep for a rainy day as opposed to reinvesting it back on the business. And guess what it did? It constrained growth at the end of the day, right? So you got to be smart about the numbers. And we learned that the hard way, right? Over time, we got a controller and we started getting these monthly reports. And then we started trendlining those reports over 6 months. And then you see that, okay, you know what? We're not 2 months away from imminent death. We are, you know, a healthy business and there's a healthy trend line and a pattern and we're going to be fine. But knowing the numbers and seeing that month after month gave me tremendous confidence and it leveled up the game. But it took way too long to get.
Yeah, I am just literally sitting here smiling because I loved what you said there about calming the mind. Once you know your numbers, it calms your mind. Yes, it gives you confidence, but the confidence now gives you that calmness. You go, you know what? It is. It's an exercise I've always done. And, you know, I look at my partners and they look at it, they think, oh my God, this is not where we want it to be. But when you trend it out, as you say, you see the bigger picture and you think, actually, we're okay. We're okay. We're still hitting our trajectory. We're still growing. And that's it. Not hiding away from the numbers is probably one of the hardest things you should do, the worst things you can do as a founder. And I'm glad you brought that up. So let's talk about numbers. What strategy, every business needs a number one number, and that's lead generation. That lead generation turns into sales, sales turns into revenue, revenue into profits. What strategies are currently working for you? You're coming out the gate absolutely at full pelt with Kaboom. What strategies are you using for customer acquisition and scaling?
Yeah, 2025, you're not just coming out of the gate guns blazing, we are exploding onto the scene, right?
Boom.
We go kaboom, right? And I think the strategy, we're really into still the, I would say, the market segment identification. We are applicable to, I would say, pretty much any B2B sales organization. We have a gut feeling that we'll work better with complex B2B sales cycles where there is a discovery and an analysis and a quotation and potentially some sort of a vendor or a competitor bake-off process. So you want to focus on certain things like customer insight, which we provide, identifying white spaces, which we tap on, understanding and mapping your buyer relationships and where the relationship are strong or weak or where you need to build those relationships. We help with that. And most importantly, because this is primarily targeted at existing accounts, what we're saying is you're leaving money on the table. Our theme is find gold in your own backyard, right?
Yeah.
In fact, you know, we have a lot of these extensions of that theme saying that we're the shovels and spade company. We're helping you find gold, et cetera. But ultimately, with account management, what our thesis is, and this is a lived experience for me with my previous venture, that once we really deep dive into engineering of account management, it starts speaking to you. There are several other opportunities that you unlock with your existing customer pool that is traditionally been done very manually. You put an account rep or a customer success manager on top, and they're given a number and they kind of run towards it. but why don't we equip them with the six best practices with a platform like Kaboom so that they are not just successful at their job, they just beat their numbers because, you know, 80% of your revenue base or 90% of your revenue base in the immediate quarter to 1 year comes from existing customers for B2B. And that's where Kaboom is.
Well, I just want to stop you there because I want to talk, before we dive into that one, I want to sort of dial it back a little bit. When you mentioned, you know, we've spoken before and, you know, offline and off camera, and you always told me that, in your opinion, a traditional account management is broken. The way it's normally done is broken. Yet everyone continues to do it that way, whether they know it or not. So how should tech business think differently about maximizing revenue from their existing accounts?
And I think the paradigm, the time we are in with generative AI, right, presents a unique opportunity in this field, as in many, many other fields, right? You're seeing Gen AI use cases exploding on the scene. But in account management especially, what you get is a lot of unstructured data, emails, call recordings, offline meetings, documents, statements of work, MSAs, competitive insights, earnings calls, right? So much unstructured data that is left to that account rep or for some marketing insights team to analyze in a very manual way and say that there might be an opportunity in that department in this account of yours. Or this particular CIO just moved strategies to focus on growth versus cost reduction. So he might be open to new technologies or whatever. So being able to understand that unstructured data and then bumping that up into the structured data sets that you get with Salesforce and what have you is where the opportunity exists. And that's where I believe that you can really fix account management, which was broken before. Because in the past, what you did your account planning exercise, which was an annual spreadsheet that you tuck it into deep into SharePoint hell and forget about it for the rest of the year. And then the account exec is given a number. And then all you do at best is ask them on a monthly or quarterly basis, how are you doing with that account? Do you need any help? Here, this is a living, breathing, ongoing best set of best practices working with you hand in hand as your work companion to improve your account management outcomes.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And I love the fact that you are shifting, you know, the people's beliefs in how account management works and the field of gold that they leave behind, their focus is if they can just shift. And I suppose they don't shift to that field of gold because, as you said, there's so much broken, disjointed data there. They don't know which one to hit first. So it's far easier to go where the new lead generation is as opposed to the old account management where there is this field of gold, this more revenue than they could possibly make if they change. And I love that change of belief. And if there's an insight here that people should take away from that is just think of the exercise of thinking how much money is there in your old account that if actioned properly could actually really help you grow your business and scale your business profitability.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I've literally found gold, right? And that's where I saw religion, if you will, and the opportunity with Kaboom. There were accounts that were just underperforming, you know, four digits, five digits for 5-10 years because we just never looked at them from that engineering lens, looking at those six best practices that we manifest as Kaboom features. Once you start looking there, then suddenly the account starts speaking to you in five different ways. And then, of course, every strategy is not going to work every time. But if you do it at scale, surely your revenue numbers are going to move.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's talk about this moving from services now to a product. All right. You know, this was another big shift for you, you know, as a founder, as a CEO. Is this your first product-led venture, despite all the experiences and expertise that you've had brought and successes? What's been the biggest challenge for you from shifting from service-based offerings to a product-based offering?
I think it's that 0 to 1. Right. In services, when you get your first customer, you're off to the races, right? And then it's just scaling it. Of course, services is not repeat business. With product, you build it once and you sell it many times, right? That 0 to 1 has been a soul searching exercise in many ways, right? Because you always ask yourself, am I applying the services ROM brain here, or am I applying the best practices and fresh thinking for product? Right. But the good fortune that I've had with my previous venture, Surian Technologies and Encora, is that we've worked with a lot of engineer their products, design their products, think through their product lifecycle. So we've helped many startups, in a sense, go from 0 to 1 or 1 to 2. And that has been invaluable for me when we went out to create Kaboom, right? So yes, are we making mistakes that we don't know we are right now? Absolutely. We'll be wiser for it maybe 3 years from now. But I think the fact that we have a product that's in market and the fact that we've not even raised a single dollar so far, and I think we'll eventually get to that fundraising mindset imminently, maybe sometimes this year. But the fact that we had the luxury to do that and build a product and bring it out to market and get it in the hands of our first few customers has spoken volumes to me that we're doing some things right, which most other product companies will require a lot more rocket fuel to be able to get to this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because and every business faces roadblocks. You know, it doesn't matter if you're a startup, it doesn't matter if you've been going for decades, there's always roadblocks. There's never this straight line between an entrepreneurship between starting and the finish line. What's been the hardest part? Let me ask you this question. What has been the hardest part so far for you in growing Kaboom? You know, you brought something fresh to market, even though you had the experiences of entrepreneurship via consulting services, but now you've taken it out to marketplace. Great that you're on this great path, but there's challenges. What has been the biggest challenge, and what have you done to get past it or dealing with?
So we are right now past. So what we were focused on was getting the product to the right level where it's not just a pilot or an MVP; it's actually sellable, right? And you don't want to be also too much in love with your product, right? And that's one of the things that we've learned through speaking to other entrepreneurs is that most founders end up loving their product too much. They think it's the bee's knees. They really need to allow the customers to speak for it, right? So we are aware of it. Right now, we're in the process of understanding that, right? So as we put the product in front of customers, we're getting all kinds of feedback, right? And it depends on which segment you're attacking. If you're attacking a large enterprise segment customer, they're saying this is absolutely needed for us, but we have this security and data privacy and all of these other requirements in terms of how the data is hosted, et cetera. So every customer has their own set of asks and nuances. So being able to balance that for feature customization to really incorporating that into the product, I would say is the biggest debate that's going on with our team right now. And that's a constant struggle, right? Like which is a customization and we should get the customer to pay for it, and which is really a natural feature extension for Kaboom. So we should invest into it as a product company.
Yeah, you know, and the thing that comes over more than anything throughout that conversation is you love your product, but don't be too in love with your product because yeah. Don't eat your own medicine, as it were. The customer's got to pay for it. Learn from the marketplace, learn what they're saying, iterate from there rather than you. And that's a really good point because there's a lot of tech founders out there who believe that the product itself, as I've mentioned before, will sell itself. You know, they're so in love with it. It's my baby. It's the best baby since, you know, in the planet. And of course, they're all going to love it and they're going to come flooding. But we've also noticed that unless you start building this authority brand out there, you know, the product is itself, but you as a founder, there's founder-led marketing. And founder-led sales. We know that even up to 10, 12, $15 million revenue companies, there's still an element of founder-led sales in there and founder-led marketing because you're coming across here without that shadow of a doubt, a passionate, forward-thinking guy. You know, you know what you're offering to the marketplace and the benefit of it. How important do you believe that building a brand through authority and being seen as the number one person or the go-to person in a sea of sameness? You know, we're all experts in tech. Everyone has to be an expert in tech in order to run a business in tech. But that's not good enough anymore. You have to stand out. How important do you feel it is to be seen as an authority in your field so that people go to you?
I think it's really, I would say, the secret sauce or what differentiates the winners from, I would say, the triers. I feel that building both your personal authority and I think the other thing, you have to do it very authentically. You can't be fake. You can't PR agency or marketing agency your way out of this, right? You've got to be authentic doing it. You've got to get your message out there. And most importantly, you should not be seen as a wave rider or just a trend rider, right? Like everybody's talking about Gen AI, especially in the space that we are in, sales adjacent AI. It's packed with, you know, large VC-backed ventures. How do you differentiate yourself? be authentic to the problem that you're solving and solve it to the best of your abilities. And when you put it in the hands of the customer, ensure that you empathize with them and really learn their business and solve the business problem for them. So founder-led branding, founder-led marketing, and founder-led sales. And I have two more co-founders with me. You know, they're working on their own personal branding journeys for, you know, their own skill sets and areas, et cetera. But together, we're out there getting the message, right? And that was one of the things that was part of our New Year resolution, if you will, right? Is to get the word out, get the world to know about who we are, what we do at Kaboom, and why we should be talking.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting to hear you say that your co-founders are doing it as well. Usually, we just hear it's just one person within the company that's building that brand and attaching it to the company. But you, all of you are doing it. You, the co-founders, you're all building a personal brand based upon your own form of expertise. And you're absolutely right. You can't palm it off to a marketing agency. You can't even palm it off to some degree a marketing department, because the authenticity won't be there. And it's the authenticity that people buy into of why did you start Kaboom?
Right.
What was the passion? What did you see? Why should we trust you as opposed to, otherwise you just commoditize it. You just commoditize your product
exactly.
Like everything else, because there's no big why out there and no person. I think it's a really, really important thing for people to take away from you. So I have no doubt, you know, Kaboom is on its projection. It's got a great way, as you say, it's coming out with this massive Kaboom explosion. What does success look like to you in the next 12 to 24 months for Kaboom AI?
So we are already signing up our first customers, right? We announced a soft launch last summer and we got our first set of design partners. Well, now we actually have our first two or three commercial customers on board. We have a pipeline that's really building. We're starting to get the message on the road. I was in Dallas last week. I'm going to Salt Lake City and San Francisco later in February. So we're really starting to get the message on the road. And of course, we're in the biggest market of them all, New York City, right? So we're in the right place when it comes to our business. What does the next 12 to 18 months really look like? It's really scaling this, right? We've built the core feature set. We want the customers to take us with them. We need to empathize. We need to listen harder. We did some analysis. This was some lived experience. We did some market research, if you will, and got our beta customers and our design partners to give us the initial feedback. But now we want the real world, the scale of our customer base, right? And be that professional services organizations or consulting companies or any other B2B organization that has a complex B2B problem and also has a large established account base. You are leaving money on the table if you're not talking to Kaboom or somebody like us, preferably us. And we will guarantee you one thing. We will listen first and then we will implement the solution, right? If we do that right in the next 12 to 18 months, the world is our play.
Yeah, absolutely. I can totally see that. Totally see that. We've covered so much already. And I just look at the time and I think, wow, where does this time go? And we could be talking forever, Ram, because there's so much more to unpack and where you're coming from. So I have this question for you. If you could give yourself, your younger self, you take packaging all your experience together. If you could give your younger self one piece of advice that our listeners could also take on board.
Right.
When it comes to either growing their company or scaling their company or avoiding mistakes or whatever you want to choose, what would be that one piece of advice?
You know, it's funny because I do two exercises mentally. 70-year-old Ram talks to 50-year-old Ram, which is me right now, right? So what is older Ram going to say to me? And I talk to 20-year-old Ram, who's just a kid out of college or in college, and advise that, right? I just do that as psychological exercises. And the one thing that I say to 20-year-old Ram is that you're going to be okay, right? And it's not as bad or it's not as tough as it feels it's going to be. You're going to be okay, right? And I think at the end of the day, you got to seize the opportunities that life throws at you. And you don't need to be looking at everything as half empty. Look at everything as half full, right? When one door shuts, another door opens. And you just need to allow that universe to speak to you and take it with you, and good things happen, right? You do your thing, be honest, have empathy, be fair, and be nice to people, good things will happen. And that's the advice that I would give 20-year-old Ram over and over again.
Well, that's a fantastic piece of advice to end on. So if people want to get hold of your Ram, you know, whether they want to do learn more about what you do, help them with their account management, or just reach out to you, what's the best way of getting hold of you?
So I can be reached on LinkedIn. I'm very active. I'm there maybe sometimes too often. And ram@kaboom.ai, that's another way to get a hold of me. And I will be more than happy. One thing I do believe is that I will make myself available for anybody who truly needs my help or advice. Or for that matter, I could benefit from their help or advice.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely. I'll make sure that your LinkedIn is inside the show notes so people can get hold of you really, really easily. Because I think it's an absolute legend here that's actually sharing what help, and the fact that you're offering your help out to people is, you know, is so commendable. So thank you very much, Ram, for joining us and sharing your insights and expertise today. It's truly been great today.
So this is huge, Gary. You know, I'm going to add a new footnote to my title, Ram Ganesan Legend. Okay. That's flattering of you, and that's very kind. You made my day. And thank you again for having me on the show. It was truly a pleasure, and look forward to more great news from Kaboom.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. Thank you very much, Ram. And thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us for yet another episode of the Growth Focus Podcast. And as always, if you've taken anything from Ram today, please make sure you like it, comment on it. But more importantly, please make sure you share. This is how we all grow. This is how we grow our businesses. This is how we grow as entrepreneurs, by standing on shoulders of giants, learning insights from them, and then showing other people how to do it as well. So until next time, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you again, Ram, for that. And until the next episode, goodbye.